Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. It's Rapid Fire Friday. We're going to go right back to phones, 844-707-5533. I do want to mention to all of you that this would be a great opportunity to partner with the ministry. So we sure would appreciate it. We could use your partnership, and we know that you will find a great use for the partnership. We got a lot going on in the economy, a lot going on in the markets, and we really need, all of us really need, to stay on top of our stewardship in a dramatic way, and I hope we can help you do that. I'm sure we can. So if you'd go to financialissues.org, you can see that. I also want to remind you that, you know, we lost YouTube, right? They dropped us. We're probably going to end up back on there. I'm not real excited about going back on, but our social media guys and IT guys, they all think we should do it. I don't know. I think it's kind of a waste because I think we're going to get, you know, whacked out again soon. So, but here's what I would tell you to do. And who knows, Facebook may be next from what I am seeing going on with Facebook around the country with conservative kinds of sites. And I just want you to be secure. I don't want you to lose us. And I ask you, you can use whatever platform you want, but know for certain that the one platform that is, that nobody can shut down but us, or a technical issue, but us, is our website, financialissues.org. And you can just go view live and you can listen all day long on the website. So I hope that you will do that. I hope that you'll download our phone app, which is, you know, a great place to hear the program all 3 hours every day on our phone app. Financial Issues, go to your app store, search Financial Issues, you're going to find the app. And you're going to listen to all 3 hours. All 3 hours on our website at financialissues.org, FISM.TV. Now, you will notice, you know, we have not officially launched FISM.TV. Can you find it? Yes. Is it up there? Yes. Is it a running program? Sure. You can see CBN News. You can watch 700 Club. Dr. Robert Jeffers in the morning. We've got New Life Today. Great, great program. Wretched Radio. So we've got programming, but we are in the process of building out original programming that we're really, really excited about. We're going to keep those, but we've got other exciting programming that you are going to love that's going to be on that channel. And once we get, we are still working on automation systems, which are very complicated. That's all I know, is that they're very complicated. I don't know how, why, and when, but they're very complicated. And we are working through that. We are also working through some other technical things, but we're not going to officially launch until it is a go, and you can go home and put your TV on, your Roku TV or your Amazon TV or your Apple TV or whatever you, and you'll be able to watch our channel and all of that. So that's coming, and we're really excited about that. But plenty of ways to see the program, and we want you to make sure that you are fully engaged on all of our platforms, and we're really excited about. We even have some great kids programming that we are doing that we're really excited about. So some great things. Anyway, we hope that you will be a part of that. Financialissues.org. I wanted to take a quick look here at the markets and see where we are. I haven't even looked at them today. Everything is up about a half of 1%, so that's good news. Look, no matter what happens in the markets today, we had an unbelievable quarter. The S&P on track and likely will be the best quarter they've had in a decade, the S&P. Best quarter in a decade. And that is really, really good news. The Dow, the NASDAQ, very, very good quarter as well. Look, and we've had a lousy, well, I don't want to say lousy, but a not so good month of March. So even in spite of that, we're going to end up with a pretty good quarter. And that is very good news. You know what happens, right? Next month, earnings season. And there's going to be a lot of volatility, a lot of stresses, a lot of worries, a lot of concerns in and around earnings season and what's going to happen. And this earnings season is unlike any other earnings season. It is an earnings season that is going to give us a pretty good insight for what the year is going to look like. If the year doesn't do anything else, I'm happy. If it just stays right here, that would be great for the year end. But earnings season is going to be critically important. The St. Louis Fed president, James Bullard, came out yesterday and said, look, there's no need to cut rates right now. He said the economy is strong, still strong. A lot of what we're seeing is transitory and feels very good about yet the rest of the year, but they're watching it very closely. We're going to be watching ag commodities as we head into planting season. We're going to be watching that very closely. And here's Craig Haugert, our ag reporter, doing that for us. We'll be right back.
This is Craig Haugert with your Financial Issues Ag Update. The corn market kind of fought to a draw yesterday as we ended up a quarter of a cent for the day. Satellite analysis shows that 500,000 acres have been impacted by flooding in the Missouri River, and about 200,000 of those acres usually are planted to either corn or beans. Weekly export sales came in at a very solid 35.6 million bushels. And while that was a bit positive, the trade was kept in check by fears over a surprise in today's prospective planting acres report. A little pressure was applied from South America, where a crop tour just projected that second crop corn in Brazil would produce 70.6 million metric tons, which is up a couple million from the last estimate. As I record this, spot corn futures are trading down a penny. After setting some new multi-month lows on Wednesday, we saw some fund buying come into the bean market on Thursday. The market also received a boost from a rumor that China has purchased 1.5 million metric tons of beans from the U.S. Now, weekly export sales were disappointing at 6.7 million bushels, but of course that number did not include the rumored Chinese purchase yesterday. South America continues to show evidence of a huge crop, with their recently concluded crop tour pegging the production at 118 million metric tons. It wasn't that long ago that some analysts had them factored in for 112 million, so certainly those late season rains impacted that crop very positively. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading about a half cent higher. The wheat markets were lower straight across the board yesterday as profits were taken and traders got themselves positioned ahead of today's report. We did experience a solid week of export sales as they came in at 17.5 million bushels. In the overnight trade, Chicago was down 2 cents, while Kansas City is a penny lower, and Minneapolis is trading down a nickel. May cotton futures slumped yesterday as they closed back below the 10-day moving average. For the session, they are down 108 points and closed at 75.87. Now, weekly export sales came in at 219,000 running bales, which was stronger than expected, but didn't have much impact in price movement yesterday. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading up 16 points. Cattle were slightly higher yesterday, while lean hog futures suffered a significant setback. For the session, June live cattle were up 2.5 cents, while May feeder cattle finished up 15 cents. May lean hogs were down the $3 limit. And we had the quarterly hogs and pigs report yesterday. That was viewed as neutral. It showed all hogs and pigs on March 1st at 102.1% of last year. Kept for breeding was at 102.2%, while kept for marketing checked in at 102.1%. All those numbers were very close to trade expectations. Class 3 milk futures had a fairly uneventful day, with May futures closing unchanged at 1548, and in the overnight trade, they are continuing to trade unchanged. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were $1.55 lower at $227.44, while selects were down a dollar and a penny to settle at $219.52. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 42 cents lower for the day. They settled at
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. Great to be here. 844-707-5533. And we're doing a rapid fire Friday, but we got some, what did we get? We got some economic data, right?
Ian? We have I'm looking them up here, the new home sales data.
Oh, okay.
And we also have a consumer sentiment index.
Okay, so before we get the new home data, what's the, What is it? January or February?
It is for February.
February. Okay.
Yes. So
what do we got there?
The previous number was 636,000. So from there, it went up to 667,000.
Okay, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, just I don't know. They were expecting. I'm looking here. 622.
Yeah, they were expecting it to drop by about 10,000.
And what was it? What did you get?
667.
Oh wow, that ought to be some pretty good news for the markets, I would think. And that's a February number. So that's good news. What was the other number that came out?
And the other one was Consumer Sentiment Index. That one was coming from 97.8. It was projected to remain the same, but it actually went up as well to 98.4.
Wow, that's good news, too. And that's, is that a February number?
That is a March number.
Oh, that's March number.
Yeah.
Oh, better yet. Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that would be March because that hasn't been delayed. Great stuff. Good. Thanks, Ian. So they're good. They're good numbers, folks. That probably do something. It's great because it may be good for. Hopefully, it'll carry over in the next week, as we see that. It's got to be a little bit of a shot in the arm for home builder confidence, I would think. And you know, by the way, I didn't say this yesterday. I forgot to mention this, but mortgage rates are down significantly. I said that, but I didn't realize. Just how much they were down. I think they're at like a six-year low, I think I saw yesterday, on mortgage rates. So that's very good news. So we got lower mortgage rates. We got prices increasing at a smaller amount. That's not so good for me because we're still threatening, my wife and I are still threatening, we've only been doing it for 6 years, that we're going to downsize and we're going to sell our house. And, of course, it would only stand to reason that when we go to sell it, that prices would be coming down. I mean, that would only make sense, unfortunately, for us. But nonetheless, all good. So some good news. It's good to get a kind of a number of different things that are all pretty good. So that's great. Thanks, Ian. All right. We're going to go to phones, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Jim. Jim's calling us from Virginia. Hey, Jim.
How you doing, Dan?
Good.
When I decided to retire, is the military retirement and a company pension counted toward income for Social Security?
Well, I don't. The pension I can't comment on because the pension might be something different, but I don't believe the military income will. And every state is different. So, for instance, in the state of Pennsylvania where I live, that would not be counted as income. But in the state of Virginia, I'm not sure from a state tax standpoint, now I'm talking about, I don't know if the state of Virginia is going to count it. But from a federal perspective and the Social Security, it's not going to count. The military is not, I don't believe. But the pension, I think, is going to depend.
Okay.
I
appreciate it.
I suspect the pension might be. Yep. All right, thanks, Jim.
Okay,
hey, thank you for your service, too, brother. Sure do appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
God bless. Let me go to Jeremy from North Carolina. Hey, Jeremy.
Jeremy?
Okay, Jeremy's not there. Put him on hold for a second, see if he comes back. Let me go to Dave. Dave calling us from Ohio. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how are you, Dan?
Good.
Well, I've got a couple questions for you. I'm 59 years old.
Okay.
Me and my wife have both worked and paid into Social Security for 40 41, 42 years now.
Uh-huh.
We've managed to raise our three kids and help them go to school and graduate with no student loans.
Wow, that's great.
Unfortunately, that hasn't set us up real well for retirement.
Yes.
We do have, and I've got a couple different questions, but we do have between the two of us in 401ks, we have about $400,000.
Okay.
She also has a lump sum pension payout of about $80,000 due whenever she decides to take that.
Okay.
My question is, should we continue to put money into these 401ks through our employers, or should we start transitioning to putting that money maybe into a Roth IRA where we're building some after-tax money? We do have a $15,000 emergency fund saved up, as well as about $70,000 in cash in a savings account.
Okay.
Like I say, my question is, and along with that, we've got a $74,000 mortgage on a house with a market value of between $240,000 and $250,000. My question is, you know, should we continue to put money in these 401ks or start putting that money into Roth IRAs? Or we also have a car loan, that I've been paying two payments a month on, which would free up about $900 a month that we could invest in, like I say, a Roth IRA or some other vehicle.
Yeah.
And just wanted your opinion on.
So, Dave, does your company match
that money, or
does your company match on the 401k?
Yes, my company does. Hers is a very small match. I think mine is like 4%.
Okay. So what? No matter what you do, you've got to do at least a match, both of you, to continue to do it. And I would continue to do that. I think it makes sense for you to continue to do that. My question that I'm kind of kicking around in my head is to whether I want you to get into a 401k. I mean, my gut feeling is, I mean, a Roth IRA. My gut feeling is that you've got a lot of your wealth, the majority of it, tied up in qualified money in 401ks. And I don't know that I necessarily want to work towards you building up more wealth inside another qualified plan. Now, obviously, it's great because there are some tax benefits to the Roth IRA, and that makes it, you know, pretty attractive in the long run, and might give you an opportunity to have a Roth IRA that you can roll some of your money into. But I'm okay with opening up a Roth IRA. I would even be okay with doing the difference between the four, you know, doing, so if you're matching 4% and you're putting in 6%, I would move the 2% over to that Roth IRA account. You know what I mean? So
right.
I would feel pretty good about that. As far as any other discretionary income, so do those little pieces, whatever that might be, into the Roth, open up a Roth and do that. As far as that other discretionary income, for instance, you said you're going to have some car loans or some other things come, you know, get paid off, and it's going to free up $900. I would rather that go into an investment account, just a regular joint investment account. And that would be, you would do that at wherever you're setting up this Roth IRA account. So if you set that up at Fidelity, at TD Ameritrade, wherever you set that up, at the same time, open up a joint investment account. And I would start building that up and continuing to build that up. And if you do that, you're going to be building up a great investment account that is not qualified money, that is not going to be dictated to you by the rules and regulations of the IRS or by the government in any way, shape, or form. So I like that. In the meantime, you have a Roth IRA accounts that are open that you're contributing a little bit to, and that is there open so that at some point in time, maybe even now to start, but certainly after you retire, at some point in time, you can begin to roll over a certain amount of money every year from these traditional 401ks over to those Roth IRA accounts. Now, you'll have to pay tax on that, so you won't roll over any more than you're kind of willing and able to pay tax on. Maybe it's $2,000, maybe it's $20,000, whatever it is. But that will, so that's another advantage to have in those Roth IRAs. And then just keep doing your 401k up to the match. I think if you do those things, you'll be in great shape. And so your goal right now would be to open up two Roth IRA accounts and one joint investment account. And I think that would be a great place to go. Obviously, your wife's lump sum is going to be considered treated as a traditional IRA, which means if you're going to have to eventually roll that in to either, I would probably roll it into her 401k where she is now, just so you have it all in one place, rather than opening up a traditional IRA account just to roll that in too.
Well, would it make more sense to not do anything with that lump sum pension until she retires and is not earning any income?
Yes. Yes. It does. But here's the problem with it. That the downside to that. The downside is that if you do that, you don't have any opportunity to be investing in, maybe get some gains on it between now and then. It's kind of stuck sitting there, and that's, you know, and maybe it's earning something wherever it is, but that's the only downside. But I wouldn't have a problem with you leaving it sit there.
Well, you know, I don't know that it's earning anything because the company did away with their pension plan.
Yeah.
And she just kind of grandfathered in.
Yeah, so Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. It's Rapid Fire Friday, folks. Dave, I'm sorry I had to cut you off there. I didn't even realize we were up against the break, and I apologize for that, but I think you got all your questions answered. So thank you for calling in. 844-707-5533. We got another hour and a half, folks, so we're taking your phone call. So cue your call up, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Mary. Mary's calling us from Ohio. Hey, Mary.
Hi there. I'm calling to find out. My brother's got invested in some dinars, and he thinks he's going to retire on these things. He's paid off his house. He's only 57, and I think he's put about $10,000 or $15,000 in these dinars. I think they're from Iran or Iraq. Yeah. And he keeps saying, when they go up, and then I'm going to be able to retire off of this stuff. But I think he's bought wooden nickels.
You're right. They're not going to go up. He's lost that money, and it's sad, but he's lost that money. But, if he can just come to that conclusion himself, that would help him to kind of continue to save for his retirement. But it's not going to happen. It's not an illegal thing. It's not a scam. It is a scam, in my opinion, but it's not anything illegal. But just to put it in perspective for you, to give you an idea, they're still selling. There are still people buying the Vietnamese dollar under the same premise that they started 50 years ago. I mean, it's the same idea. Now they've switched the Iraqi dinar. Listen, so here's the theory. Here's why I say he's lost it, and I say that very confidently. But so you buy an Iraqi dinara because it is so undervalued. It's worthless almost. So you pay, I'm making a number up, you pay a nickel for $1. So the talking point to buy these things is that Iraq's going to get their government's going to get their act together. And when they get their act together and they get their government stabilized, they are going to, which, by the way, they've been saying for 10 years. When they get their act together and they get stabilized, they are going to reissue a new currency, kind of starting over again. And now the Iraqi dinara is going to be worth a dollar instead of a nickel. And you're going to be able to take all those nickel dinars that you paid for, and you're going to trade them in. You're going to get a dollar. Never going to happen. It's never going to. It would be if they did that. Now, what is going to happen if that happens, which I don't even think they're going to restructure that way. But if that were to happen, you may get one new dollar, say. You may get one for 30 of those old ones. So there might be some exchange there, but you're not going to get a one for one. Because their currency is junk. It's not even listed on the currency exchange. It's junk. If they want to prove that they have a solid sovereign government, then they can't make a one-for-one exchange, or the new is going to be junk. Because the problem is they were running the printing presses like crazy during the worst times of the regime as much as they could. And they have so much in circulation that it would be defeating the purpose if they took the new one and put as much into circulation. Then that would devalue because they don't have the full faith and credit enough to support the kind of currency they issued. So logic tells me, that it would be impossible for that to happen, and everybody selling those things that is making money on it it's just never going to happen. And again, they've been doing this with the Vietnamese dollar for I don't know how long, and it still hasn't happened. It's not going to there either. As a matter of fact, they have less reason to do it now than they've ever had. So
he has a life insurance policy for my mom, but she just passed away, so he said he's going to drop it. But I don't know if he's got anything put away for his burial. I'm not sure about all that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I mean, one of the things that broke my heart once, this was going back about 5 years ago, a guy who was in his 70s mortgaged his house. He had no debt. He mortgaged his house, and he bought all this Iraqi dinaro. And he was going to be a multi-billionaire. I mean, all his family was going to be wealthy for the rest of his life. And I told him what I just told you, and he was so angry at me. For a year, he wrote me nasty emails and was so angry at me. And I felt so bad. I didn't want to tell him, but I was saying it not in a bad way, because I didn't even want to tell him. I felt so bad. I just was hoping for a break and I could get him off the air, because I didn't want to have to be the one to tell him. But he was certain that it was going to happen. And I just felt so bad that he did that, you know. And so he's not alone. There's a lot of people that have done it, and it's sad.
My brother feels the same way. He thought he's going to get rich off of this and give to the family and all this stuff. And I go,
listen, it's the old story, Mary. If it's too good to be true, it is.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you another question. My mom passed away. I'm starting over again. My husband left us in Texas. I lost everything I owned because he just dropped us off down there, and I couldn't afford to bring everything home. So I got 2 boxes of clothes out of 10 years of marriage. And then I went back to Texas, and I built a booth and had a bakery situation set up so I could do a pop-up bakery at festivals and things. to use that money to buy property and start my kitchen and do all that kind of thing. And I'm not have anything in retirement at all. But I'm not going to retire. I'm going to make pies the rest of my life.
Yeah, well, you know what? And that's fine. You know, you'll collect a little. So how long were you married, 10 years?
Almost, but he ran off with somebody else. Not quite 10 years, so I can't get anything from him.
I thought it was 7 years. I thought it was seven.
Well, if it's 7 years, then I'm going to have it.
Darlene says it's 7 years. She's just telling me in my ear here in the production studio. I believe it's seven. And
I was married almost 10 years.
You need absolutely don't even go right now to Social Security and make sure that you find that out and you do whatever you need to do to make sure that that happens. But so please don't. Please make sure you do that. And the worst case is they say, no, you can't, but make sure that you do that. I would go to your local Social Security office. You won't be able to get an appointment probably for 2 months, but call, make the appointment, and make sure you do that. And then, so you'll have Social Security anyway. And, you know, the best I can tell you is I wish you all the best. You're doing the right thing. You have a great understanding. You're not going to go to work. You're going into a ministry. You're going to do the Lord's work, and you're going to bake pies until the day the Lord calls you home. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that is your plan. It's a good plan. You get a little Social Security from your ex-husband and maybe whatever you get from yourself. But if you don't get it from him, and, you know, you bake pies and you try, hopefully, by the grace of God, it'll grow and you'll be able to get set aside a little bit of money for savings because it is important. Not that you have invested.
I'm going to do it in
money.
A large flea market. There's a 100-acre flea market down in Texas, and it brings in like 75,000 people.
Oh, wow.
And I've done my PR work walking around Dallas, and I have 7 coffee houses that want me to fill their case.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, that's great. So I think you'll do well. Just keep focusing on the Lord and doing it for the kingdom, and you'll be fine. But please go to the Social Security office.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome. God bless. 844-707-5533. Vince from Texas. Hey, Vince.
Good morning, Dan, and thank you again for taking my call. I have a few questions for you here this morning. First of all, the setup, I'm 67. I'm transitioning into the income portfolio. I've been with you just about 2 years and some change. Back in the beginning of 2018, I bought Echo 53.
Uh-huh.
And Echo 53 is down 38%.
Right.
I look at my other energy positions, and I'm kind of confounded as to why that kind of a stock is more than double my losses on the other positions here in energy. Can you shed any light on that?
Well, it's two totally different. It's a totally different company than the other two energy stocks that you have. It's not a company that is benefiting from higher oil prices, and that's one of the reasons. But this company is going to benefit from higher growth in the energy sector. And the higher growth in the energy sector is going to happen. It's already started to happen. It's going to continue to happen. And, I think that's a great company, and it's a company that you want to keep. But it's just two totally different animals.
Okay, very good. Now, because I'm transitioning over into the income portfolio, I was wondering about whether it would be in my best interest to sell out of Echo 22, which is a mid-cap, and jump over into Echo 48, which is a large cap and has a much larger dividend.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
844-707-5533. Let me go to Facebook for a second. I want to come back to phones. We have two lines open, 844-707-5533. We got some questions on Facebook. Thank you, Timothy, first of all. Appreciate your service, brother. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Bob is saying, good morning, Dan. I have to, if we go into a recession within the next year or two, what is likely to happen to SLV? SLV is a silver ETF. Well, first of all, understand that it will only track real silver on the downside. So it will, if silver in and of itself starts to tank a little bit, then it's going to track silver on the downside. It is not going to track silver on the upside. I'm not saying it's not going to go up, but it's not going to track spot silver prices on the way up. So you probably already know that if you've owned it for any length of time. I don't like any precious metals ETF, and I certainly don't like I don't like precious metals, to begin with, maybe for a small portion. But if it is a small portion, it ought to be physical that you own. Look, it doesn't matter recession or not. It's going to have an, it's going now, and this has been true for the last 15 years, it's going to be somewhat irrelevant. We had an official recession in 2008, part of 2009, officially a recession. I would argue that we were in a recession for at least 6 years. And I find it difficult, I said this for 6 years on the radio, don't tell me we're out of a recession. It's a joke. I understand that we're out of it technically, but we were still in a recession as far as I was concerned. Here is the problem. The dollar remained strong because this recession became very global. And we became, the United States of America became, the best looking horse in the glue factory. So we were the place where everybody was running to. They were buying our bonds. Our dollar stayed strong. Our currency stayed strong. So therefore, we didn't have any inflation, zero inflation for all practical purposes. So gold and silver didn't do anything. They had some knee-jerk reactions on the upside, but they didn't do anything. If we have a recession by which our currency starts to fall dramatically and we see inflation start to kick in, then SLV will go up. If not, it'll have a knee-jerk reaction of going up. You better sell it quick, and then it's going to settle into reality. So that's just my opinion. By the way, my opinion is different than everybody else's opinion. So if you're smart, you might want to just go with the majority. But I'm so alone in that I'm not even a minority group. I'm not even a group. So that's just my opinion. But that's what I feel is going to happen. I was right in 2008, and I'll be right in the next recession, I believe. So take it for what it's worth. Let me go to back to phones. Let me go to Diana calling us from North Carolina. Hi, Diana.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. And sure. I am a member, which I'm very thankful for.
Thank you.
I have a question for my daughter. She is new into the workforce. She graduated from college about a year and a half ago. And Howard's been finding an entry-level job using one with a degree. I think the degree is great for long-term, and when you go up the ladder, maybe be a manager. But for now, it's hard for entry-level. But anyhow,
yes.
Long story short, she's working for a pharmaceutical sales company, which she loves. Now, a couple of years ago, I started her with a Roth IRA. She had spot jobs here and there, and I thought, well, you can only contribute what you earn.
Sure.
So she has a Roth IRA, but now this company that she has offers a 401k, and I'm not sure what kind of matching they have, if any, who knows, but they probably offer something. The question is, should she do both or just stay and maximize the contributions to her Roth IRA?
I would only do a Roth.
Already.
Now, I mean, she may be in a situation because of the nature of the business that she's in, She has opportunity to earn a lot of money someday. And so with that in mind, there is some immediate benefit to her in having a traditional. And a lot of people are going to tell her that she ought to be using a traditional so that she can get the tax benefit on the traditional now coming out of her pay. I would say to her, and I would ask you to relay this to her, because she is going to hear that, that to trust that she will be far, far happier having an enormous tax benefit after she's retired than she's going to be now while she's working. And I would forego the tax benefit, even though she's a high income earner, I would forego the tax benefit now for the incredible tax benefit that she's going to receive through the lifetime of that for that Roth IRA account. Just my thoughts and the way my mathematical mind works on all those numbers, but I would just relay that to her. I think it'll serve her well.
Perfect. That's exactly what she wanted to find out. Wonderful.
Great.
Okay. Good. Thank you very much.
Diana, thank you, and I appreciate your partnership so much. Thank
you.
Okay.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. 844-707-5533. Dawn is asking on Facebook, can one person establish a charitable gift annuity for another person? Yes. Back in the day, years ago, when I had my trust business, and we used to advise people to set up a charitable gift annuity sometimes as part of their asset allocation model. There were a number of people back then that would set up. It's gotten better now, but pastors never had anything. You know, it was a shame. Pastors were, what more could you want? You want pay? What more could you want? You're doing the Lord's work. You're proclaiming the gospel every day. What a great work. True. It is a great work. And one of the greatest works in that area would have been Paul the Apostle. And Paul believed that a man is worth his due and he ought to get paid adequately. And the church of Ephesus took collections for the church in Jerusalem. I mean, you know, that monies needed to be paid to those people so they could effectively do that work of the Lord. Well, so a lot of people used to get charitable gift annuities, or I had several groups of people that came to us, and they were maybe 10, 15, or 20 of the higher income earners and givers to a small little church. And they would say, look, our pastor and his wife are retiring. They have nothing but Social Security. And they would group together money and put it in a charitable gift annuity for the income benefit of their pastor. It was a wonderful thing. And so they basically got together and bought a pension for the pastor. Now, if an individual person does that, if you were to do that for your brother or your sister or your next-door neighbor or whoever it was you did it for, a lot of parents I have advised to do that for the income benefit of their child's special needs trust. A lot of times, they have adult children that are a special needs. Maybe they live in a group home. Maybe they're unable to do that or whatever the situation. And I would say it's a great thing to do to put it as an income beneficiary to the special needs trust. So when they're gone, that there will be income every month going into the special needs trust. And continuing to build that special needs trust up. So you can do whatever you want along those lines. It's a great thing to do. You can't, the only stipulation about people and all that on charitable gift annuities is you can only have two people's names as income beneficiaries on a charitable gift annuity. Doesn't matter who those two people are, but you can only have two names. Now, on a you can have any one name. Doesn't have to be a relative. It doesn't have to be anybody, but anybody can set a charitable gift annuity up for the income benefit of another person. It's a great question, Dawn. I'm glad you asked. All right, let me go to, I've just clicked on Amy. Amy, how are you? I'm going to put you on hold. I just saw how close we are to the break. Go ahead. You can start your question.
Hi, Dan. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
The question I have is, I'm a new listener, and moral investing, unfortunately, is brand new to me.
Okay.
So we have been investing in low-cost index funds. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a 3-fund portfolio, and actually, you know, from a financial aspect, we did really, really well.
Yes.
But now I'm looking at the moral aspects of it, and I'm horrified because I did a moral screen.
Yeah.
And so now I'm kind of wondering what to do after basically 20 years of investing in, you know, low-cost index funds that I thought I was doing all the right things, and it turns out that, oh my goodness, now we're kind of stuck. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, Amy, first of all, I want to say I really appreciate you guys in your heart for wanting to do that. I got to go to break. I'm going to answer that and give you some help. I'm going to put you on hold. You're welcome to hold. If you hang up, I'm still going to answer it. But I'm, you know, we won't be able to have any feedback. You might have other questions. So I'll put you on hold.
Okay.
Folks, if you got to leave.